All right, welcome to Property Profits Podcast. I'm your host, Bryce Kaminsky, filling in for Dave Dubow. And if you've ever wondered how a real estate mogul closed a $1 million deal while battling kidney failure from a dialysis chair, my guest tonight, Stephen Butler from Detroit, now residing in Florida, not only conquered the challenge, but has a fascinating journey in buying and selling properties priced above the 500,000 mark. Stephen, welcome to the show. Great to have you here.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate the opportunity to speak to you about real estate investing.
Yeah, I mean, the obvious question is, tell us the story behind, closing deals on the dialysis chair.
Yes. Well, naturally, kidney failure afflicts 4 million people. I
Yeah.
think 90,000 people are on waiting list. So how I did it was inspiration from others. I had a good support team. I had a good commercial broker. And I live by my reputation no matter what gets the job done. Now, as you know, dialysis can be challenging in
Yeah.
physical ways, but I just found the necessary things that I needed to do to connect with buyers, connect with the buyer, and bring a commercial broker on. I'm not a commercial broker. I'm just, like I said, I'm an investor. And so I had a commercial broker that brokered deals in the area, particularly of where this property was. And I can give you from beginning to end. And if you want me to jump in on the beginning, I lived in Detroit. I knew a gentleman who managed a car lot, and the car lot happened to be pretty close to a stadium in downtown. Just great real estate. I informed the parking lot attendant, which was a good friend of mine. I told him, I said, "Well, could you introduce me to the owner of this lot? And if he's ever willing to sell, give me a call." Well, maybe 3 or 4 years later, that gentleman gave me a call and he said,
Owner.
"Owner is ready to sell." And it was a 22 car lot, 22 space car lot at just about Cass and Willis Street, which is Cass and Woodward, a block away from Tiger Stadium, roughly a mile away from Detroit Lions Stadium. So excellent real estate. And some of the major developers in the city wanted the property. And so they used agents to reach out to me and reach out to the owner. And what we did was I asked the owner what he wanted. And he said he wanted $1 million for roughly a quarter of an acre, roughly a quarter of an acre. So, and I told him I would get that price. And while I was on the Dallas machine, I was about to come off, and thank God for dialysis. It's a life-saving therapy. As I was about to come off, I promised him, I said, "Look, I will get you that $1 million, and I will do that. You have to worry about it." And he had been communicating to my commercial broker, and they sealed the deal in roughly 2 weeks. So naturally, that particular person didn't have to borrow. The person who had the money, and I can name some of the top developers, but if you look in Detroit's newspaper, they're there. And who basically develops most property in Detroit is the Ilitch family, Little Caesar's Pizza, or Dan Gilbert. And this lot happened to be next to the Ilitch holding. So that's who, probably picked that up. So,
Yeah,
and yes.
grab some real estate. They didn't need the loan, they just
They didn't
grab.
need it. They could clear, whenever they got the right price,
Yeah, let's
so.
just write the $1 million check. So, how did you get what piece of the action, if you don't mind
I
me
mean,
asking,
I didn't get,
for?
did I make $1 million off? No, but it was a stepping
No.
stone in terms of dealing with other commercial developers. I got a finder's fee naturally for able to locate the property and get the parties together at the table. So, I was roughly in it for about 5%. And so, but that was just basically on calls, who I knew and what I did. That's it. So the calls might have lasted 2 hours, at most. Just me on the phone trying to convince the buyer to settle with a price, and me, the people who had the money was just they wanted to get it at the lowest price. I think,
Always, yeah.
yeah, they started at 700,000, they went up to, like I said, like 1 point, what was it, 1.03, something in there. So because the gentleman, the person who owned the property, didn't want to pay a real estate agent. You know, it's kind of old school, so he didn't want to, you know, defeat. I said, well, everybody's going to get paid. You got to have to see what do you want at the end of the day. And so that's another very key point. What do people want at the end of the day? You know, and that's how negotiations happen. You know, just give me, you know. So he said he wanted to leave a big sum to his family. So I kind of gave him my word that it was going to happen. Unfortunately, it happened. All the stars aligned, and next, you know, we closed, and they sent me a check on around Christmas time, and it was a great opportunity for me.
Yeah, great, probably a great Christmas too. So,
Yes, yes.
is that your first step into real estate, or had you
No,
been doing real estate already?
no. I was in real estate already. What I did was, my first deal was a friend of mine's sister, was married and was getting a divorce. So they had a giant property in what we call the Boston Edison area in Detroit. It's a real nice historic area. Max Fisher lived there. Many industrialists lived there. So those properties are coming back in historic neighborhoods. This was one that was three levels, fireplace on several floors. It was a great opportunity for me. So it's known as a sub two deal. Sub two is I come in and I assume the mortgage. I call the company, write a letter. Look, I want to assume the mortgage. I'll catch it up and pay the mortgage and sustain it. And so that's what I did. The mortgage was roughly, they owed out $100,000. The mortgage was like $1,000 a month. So I took that over, and I did, you know, I did some basic things. I really just cleaned it up really well because it needed a lot. And a gentleman came and offered me 135 for it. So I bought it for 100 and I sold it for 135. Now that was just a quick deal. And I've spent little, you know, in expenses in terms of that deal. So even now I roll by that property over the Thanksgiving holiday. It's a beautiful property. And many people are doing that in the Detroit area, getting historic homes and really bringing them up to code and adding style to them and selling them. So I did that. It was roughly 15 years ago, you know, so, and that was one of my success stories too. I was, you know, cause that was my first deal. I had no knowledge of sub two. I didn't know this was a sophisticated ordeal. I didn't know all of the ramifications of it. So,
So, what are you working on these days?
Once again, I'm working on a property in Tennessee. It's listed at it's in a little trouble right now in these remodeling, and it's listed at one easily housing area are 2.2 million. So I like to put maybe $250,000 into the property, you know, with proper evaluation. I gotta, you know, things in Tennessee aren't like they're in Florida, aren't like they're in Michigan. Everybody has a different spin on getting the highest value out of your property by remodeling or, you know, fix and flip. So I will hold this property for 2 years. And because as you know, the market is, I mean, things are 30, 40% down. Interest rates are higher. So that does make for a different a commercial and financial environment. So I hope to get something over roughly $1 million and double up on that in a 3 year period, because I believe interest rates will go down. What I see in the marketplace are see, you have many institutional buyers, as you know. I believe BlackRock owns 43% of the residential property. Blackstone is the largest holder. Blackstone Investment Trust is the largest holder of real estate. It's over $1 trillion. They just bought American College Homes, which holds the most college housing. So once these companies begin to release properties, then you have an influx, and now they're losing on these same properties. So they'll be happy to get it off their books. So I'm waiting on the best opportunity to take advantage of a buyer's market, also a profitable market. So.
Yeah, so for the last 15 years, what have you mostly been focused on as far as how you're making money in real estate?
Oh, well, I've worked for in Detroit. I worked for restaurateurs that wanted to put up buildings. I do have a degree in civil engineering. I do have an MBA. So I've done a lot of environmental and foundational work for a restaurant group in Detroit, which gave me opportunity to just look at issues that they might not be on the paper, that exchanging properties with asbestos, exchanging properties, that title issues, that gives me more of a view of how to get around problems. Because as you see, most of the industrial use properties that were off the table, they're back on the table now because somebody cleared that title. Somebody did the environmental work. Somebody cleared that up. So I like real estate that may offer me some challenges, but bucket of gold at the end of the day is worth it. Mm-hmm. So that's what I've been doing the last 15 years, offering others opportunity to say, if you want to develop and you want to develop something, you want to buy some real estate, this is not your business. You're in a restaurant business. I go out and seek the property out. I go out and you want to start a restaurant, this is a good plot. You ask for this land, this location, proper location around other properties, as well as just building the dream of real estate owners, ownership and real estate use to your best of your ability, and being able to have an exit plan. Because many business owners, gentleman that I work with, a good friend of mine, he's in a restaurant group right now. He makes $3 million at one restaurant, $5 million at the other restaurant. He wanted to open a new one. So he needs somebody to plan it and get this set. Now he's got the best menu and the best so-called soul food. He really hasn't got time to kind of develop a lot of other things. Mm-hmm. So he would come to me on a regular basis. I had contacts with the city. I knew gentleman who ran Builders and Safety Public Work, so I can give him a call if you need your blacktop redone or your driveways, those kind of services that kind of lend to my expertise just with a phone call, you know. Mm-hmm. And I was definitely a consultant for him. I'm doing consulting down in Tallahassee with some individuals that have a restaurant group. Same, take that same formula and put it elsewhere, really, especially with mm-hmm. restaurants. And I enjoy it too. So,
yeah, you're like a little bit of speculation, a little bit of hard work, and really just doing the work that these people aren't, able to ultimately do, right? Because they're busy doing what they do.
What they do. It's hard to get to real estate and have it an exit plan and with not backfiring on you, all those things. So, we did a lot of planning in terms of, where to put a restaurant at, where, and they have a great brand, but you can still put that in the wrong place. Did you want to go? Do you want a high level? We want a 5-star place where you got dining service. Now, Detroit has totally, the landscape is totally different now. You have actual sit down, nice restaurants in the neighborhood. Now, you never had that before. So you have to take it back. You can't go with the old formula. You got to go with the new formula. And that takes somebody that has a, experience and education. I don't know all the stuff myself. I do reach out to other experts. I do.
So, you know, with all you've accomplished so far in the real estate space, what would you say your biggest obstacle is these days?
We try to avoid obstacles because by the time I get to the table, I've gotten everybody in my corner in terms of real estate, in terms of the money, in terms of all elements. You have to be more patient than every other player at the table. Mm. When I bought, you know, my first home over $500,000, we moved from Detroit to Denver. Our banks weren't there. Our banks, Wells Fargo is in Denver, not Comerica Bank. So we didn't have our institutions backing us to get the house. So, and people aren't, you know, like my wife is, does a different type of job, not financial. So she thought that you could just pull the money out of Comerica Bank just by not with an instrument. You need instruments to be able to do deals that the people at the table honor. So, so I had a bank account at Bank of America. My wife had Comerica. Comerica is Midwest Bank. Mm-hmm. Bank of America is everywhere worldwide. So you gotta think about that now. So I want to buy a house in Denver. They're Wells Fargo is their banks. Bank of America is there too, but they love Western style banks. They, you know, so getting the proper banking relationship is very key because if you got the money and you got the credit and you've done everything right, the next is will they let you have the money in good mm-hmm. faith, man? Will they let you have more money if you need it? So you want that to be that relationship to be that would be your whole businesses invest in activities that make them more money. You're either planning it or you're investing, you know, so that you need to have money. You know, every business starts out from my business school learning. Every business starts out. Steve takes out $10,000 of his bank account and puts it in your business. And then that becomes your common stock. So every business starts like that, whether you get it from your aunt, your mother, wherever you get the money from. Nike started with $1,000, two guys, and, you know, they make $3 billion a year. So just like my business, it started very small, just following. Now, I did a lot of book reading too. Don't get me wrong. Anthony Robbins, anybody who had a real estate book, I would read them. You know, mm-hmm. I would do all those things. So it's a lot of reading. It's a lot of just sitting back and contemplate what your next move is. What's your best case scenario? You got to have good partners. People walk away from the table all the time with your money. I'm coming out of Detroit. Like once again, despite all the stigmas, you have commercial fraud going rampantly, people writing bad checks and everything. So you have to have protection for that. And you have to have a trusted crew. So I've been fortunate to have that. I have business partners. I work with a construction guy who was doing construction, but he didn't have he needed somebody to bird eye the properties, and so I would go where we would have lunch every Saturday, Sunday, and we would talk about real estate and what do you think, Steve? What I'm going to rent this property off? I want to should I land contract things? And I'll say, well, you know, you can't leave it vacant because you're going to have somebody busting in, move someone in. I give them the best advice. And then also, we bought, 12, 13 properties, and that was a great, good relationship. It was just, I was looking for ownership of my own. Mm-hmm. I wanted to own it. So I got my credit correct, and I bought houses with his money to his advantage. And then I began to buy a house with my own money, you know, as I built my credit. Don't get me wrong. I worked for General Motors. I worked for companies, chemical companies. I worked too. You know, I had a 9-to-5 job. Don't get me wrong. I did this on the side. And then once I saw, a hole to go into and it was easy and I had good partners, what I thought were good partners, then I went. I did it. And what I thought were good partners is people, if you're not contractually bonded with people, with every word on your contract. Now, I guess I've skipped that. You got to have a contractual agreement between people on how you're going to cooperate in a business.
Mm-hmm. Expectations. You know, this one guy said, he said how people come into how they leave their last partnership or how they come to you in the partnership is how they'll leave you in that partnership. That's so true. You look at how they're coming in, and if they're coming in desperate, they're going to be leaving desperate. And so when you look at the partnerships that you're trying to make, you know, for people listening at home, partnerships are great, but, evaluate that marriage to some degree and look at, are they coming in desperate? Well, they're going to leave you desperate. Are they coming in good? They're going to leave you good. So, running that. Yeah. I've been taking that advice. A guy who's been in real estate, 30 years, he told me that. And I was like, you know what? Makes a lot of sense. When you take all the things you've done and seen and you put it up against that and you measure it, you're like, yep.
You don't want a part. See, I had good partners, but they weren't what I gave in a partnership. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So what I give in a partnership is we get in a deal. You don't want to get in here, take your money.
Mm-hmm.
Bottom line, at any stage of the deal. So you don't, but do I get into deals with everybody? No, I don't get into deals with everybody. So also Yes, if your paperwork and you want to skip paperwork up front, that's your, you know, you that's a
Yeah.
ragged operation, you know. Agency. If I want you to go out and buy a property, a lot of people use agents to go out buy a property because if you know if I'm a billionaire, you're gonna charge me more. So I send an agent to make the deal, and then it's undisclosed who I am. Now, in those agency agreements, what if your agent goes out there and does something hazardous to somebody's health? You know, so you, that person represents you, especially if you send them out there to engage. Now, you might not have, of course, you didn't go out there and slug that guy or go, you know, do body harm. No, of course not. But you have to watch your agents and what they do for you. And for a long time, I would loosely fit, you know, you can't loosely fit agency out there because a lot of times it gets, what if the agent runs off with somebody? You know, I've been in a situation where real estate was very expensive. Guy wanted me to help him, needed advice. And I was saying, well, if somebody else comes with something bigger, I have to go that way because your results, I don't know what you want me to say at this point in time. You have something worth some money, and are you, and I could promote it for you, but it's kind of, you know, I'm not trying to, I won't never say I don't need the money, but a lot of times I have to end the conversation quickly because if you don't have the credit and the money and there's some kind of uncertainty about what you're doing. And like I said, I've been doing this about 20 years, since 1999. And nobody has ever lost. I have no bad reputation at all. I carry my brand well. So, I want people that are serious if they're really serious about that. So,
Yeah, so if people wanna like connect with you, they wanna find out more about what it is that you do and look for your help. How do they find you? What should they do? How do they connect with you?
thank you for that opportunity. I have Instagram. It's under universe.sb. And you can feel free to chime in. Or I'm on Facebook, Stephen Butler. And I'm in a couple organizations that I think I got your information from, the doctors, dentists, passive income, rental, property. I got your information from them. And they've been a great resource. I mean, that's turned everything around because I'm talking to people who, stuff I want to talk about 24/7, really, you know, real estate, how to get it. And so universe.sb, if you want to call me, I don't know if I can give you my number, but
Yeah,
if
go
you're,
ahead.
okay, my number is 313. I still have a Detroit number, 313-686-4984. That's 313-686-4984. I'm in Tallahassee. So love to help anyone that needs help. I love to be a resource to people. And if we can make some money, I'd love to help. You know, I'd love to do that. So
Awesome. Yeah, it's always big when people put their number out here because that goes to show that they got a level of transparency. People aren't like, "Oh, you're gonna have to Google my number, find me that way." No, just like it's business. That's what
yes.
my phone is for. Call me.
Call me. Yeah. And that's good. I really, all the things I'm doing is in a book. You could, you know, read up on it, real estate, finance, investing. I got stuff sitting right here that I review all the time. So I'm not making this stuff up. You know, if you want a subject to deal where you have a person that wants to you to take their note over, I can tell you bottom up how to do it, what letter to write, et cetera. I can tell you how to do that, you know, and not, that wouldn't even mean a charge. Now, if you want to do something more and bigger, then, you know, we will right fit it. I always say right fit. Right fit means I'll fix it to your best liking.
Yeah, awesome. Well, I really appreciate your time, Stephen, and very interesting story. And I always like to hear from people that have been in the business a good 20 years about how things have changed and how they stayed competitive over this time. Appreciate your time.
Thank you so much. Thank you for the opportunity.
Yeah, no problem. And until next time, guys, we'll catch you on the next episode.